Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 193 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacka. Thanks for joining me again. It's been a while since we spoke. We're on our summer schedule, so it's been, I think, about a month or just slightly over a month. But here's the upside. We've got tons of stuff to talk about in this episode. Among them, Wilson will be coming on to talk about the Gunny Girl West Coast shoot that just happened about a week and a half ago. I was there as well. And not only it's a very unique calendar this year, but not only we're going to talk about the calendar and some information around that, but there's a project that we're releasing associated with that, with the calendar as well. So we're going to talk about that. Also, Wilson just got back from IPSC Nationals in Tabor, Alberta, but not only is she going to tell us a little bit about her experience there, but there's an interesting story behind the story, and we can't wait to share that with you. As well, I'm going to have an interview with Chloe Barnes from We Unify. So We Unify is a volunteer organization that hosts a conference once a year called the Reclaiming Conference, or just Reclaiming. And what that is, it's a leadership conference focused on solutions, reclaiming something that we may have lost in the last 10 or so plus years, right? So she's going to come on to tell us about that. It's going to be really interesting. I'm one of the speakers there, so I'm going to be there in Calgary at the BMO Center on September 19th, 20th, and 21st, I believe. So you can, if you're in the Calgary area, make sure that you check that out. That's going to be a very interesting thing to take part in. As well, I'm going to talk briefly about an interview that I had with a political science professor, Dr. Noah Schwartz. So you may know Dr. Schwartz from his appearances in the Senate and House committees as it applies to gun bills. But Noah has a new book coming out, so we're going to talk about that a little bit as well. Anyway, all that and more, the CCFR Radio Podcast starts right now.
CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com.
And thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics.
Ready, Aim, Shop. Bullseye North is where passion meets precision. Discover a huge selection of top-notch rifles, accessories, and ammo. Whether you're perfecting your aim at the range or gearing up for hunting season, Bullseye North has you covered with free shipping on orders over $300, including ammo. Some exclusions apply. Check out bullseyenorth.com and remember to subscribe to their newsletter, bullseyenorth.com.
A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR Radio Podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. All right, we are back. So I've only got a couple of things to go over with you, not long at all, before we bring Tracy on. The first thing I want to mention is I did this sit-down interview with Dr. Noah Schwartz from, he's an assistant professor of political science at the University of the Fraser Valley here in the lower mainland of British Columbia, southwestern BC. And if memory serves me correctly, this is the first time that I've actually met in person Dr. Noah Schwartz, and he's just great. Just, I have a lot of respect for quiet professionals that have high ethics and that take their position seriously, because there's so little of that right now. So anyway, it was great to meet Noah. We did two interviews. We did one for television, which was about 7 minutes and 20 seconds, something like that. And then we have the full sit-down interview, which is out already on all our social media platforms, which is around 21 minutes, if memory serves me correctly. So well worth the time to watch. And it's a nice looking video because it's here in the studio in Chilliwack, British Columbia. And the reason why he's doing these interviews is to promote his new book called Targeted. And this book has been, I don't know, two or three or maybe even 4 years in the making. And we played a part in being interviewed Dr. Schwartz, because this is an academic publication. It's peer reviewed as well. It's good to know. And it's basically an investigation or a look into Canadian gun culture, the real Canadian gun culture, not the accusatory, what we think the gun culture is, because we're not in it, that you see from government and the media. It's actually what gun culture is in Canada. So who the firearm community is and what they are. So it's a really important piece of academic publishing. So anyway, I will put, if I have the link, I will put it in the description box below so that you can watch that interview at your leisure. The other thing I wanted to mention is just how this episode is going to happen, the order of operations here. We're going to bring Tracy on. We're going to talk about a couple of things. And then we're going to have an interview with Chloe Barnes, as I mentioned in the intro, from We Unify about the Reclaiming Conference happening September 19th through 21st in Calgary, Alberta. But I'll have more to say about that after that chat with Chloe in the outro. So anyway, let's get Wilson on and get started. All right, via Zoom, we've got Tracy Wilson of the CCFR, I think. Wilson!
I heard that a lot the last few days. It's actually catching more than ever. And yeah, walking across the range in Tabor, Alberta, I heard that multiple times. So it's nice. I like it.
That's weird. All right. Well, we have a lot of stuff to go through. Thanks for making it out, because you've been traveling like crazy and you're sick today. So
yes,
thanks for
both of those things are true.
Putting the extra effort in. But the first thing we wanted to cover is we had contacted the Minister of Public Safety, Gary Ananasangari's office, twice, once back in May, at the end of May, to consult with the government about the buyback or the compensation program and a number of other things, just trying to figure out where they're going, what direction, and maybe present some other alternatives, and maybe a little bit of information from the stakeholders involved, the people that are actually having their property seized, you'd think. And we didn't get any response to our inquiries whatsoever. And on top of that, apparently, just like the Trudeau Liberals, they're meeting with Pauly Sensuive. Yeah, they're meeting with Nall. And in fact, Natalie Provost as well, who shouldn't be there. It's not her portfolio.
Yeah, this is interesting, actually. So it sort of goes back to this post that Gary Ananasangari had made, the minister. He had made a post on Twitter that he had met with Pauly Sensuive. And I mean, yeah, it's a little frustrating because we are, by every single measure, the largest stakeholder on this part of his file. And we did put in a request for a meeting, you know, both to him and the Minister of Justice. And of course, have received no reply from Gary's office. So he makes this tweet, puts out a picture of him meeting with Pauly and Nall, and immediately has to delete it because the comments are just, you know, he's being totally savaged and ratioed to death, right? So he reposts it with the exact same caption. And when I was looking at it, I, you know, took note that it was very obvious that Natalie Provost wasn't in his picture. And I thought, well, that's weird. Like, normally, you know, previously to her winning her riding in the election, of course, she would be at the forefront of all this. And I thought, well, that's weird. She wasn't there. Well, I head over to Facebook, and sure enough, on her story, she posted a picture of herself at that meeting. So interesting that the minister left her out of his photo and his post, but she included herself in hers. So it's kind of proof positive that not only is she a member of parliament now, she's also still very, very tied to Pauly Sensuive. So yes, we have requested a meeting as the largest stakeholder on the file, have not heard back from Gary. And, you know, I think we thought maybe things would be different under a new government, but it appears that everything remains the same.
Well, apparently Mark Carney in his victory speech said that he's willing to do away with the anger and division of the past, and everyone that calls Canada home has a seat at the table. So he was going to conduct business a lot differently than Trudeau. If you remember, Trudeau, if you weren't aligned with them politically or ideologically, you had no place, even on files where you were a major stakeholder. Like, you just, government, access to government was not available to you. and a story, which is very similar to the media, actually, mainstream media in Canada, or the legacy media, however you want to call it. So, you know, Carney made a commitment that it would be different. And I don't know. I think we're experiencing it differently. But anyway, I do have the actual clip just for proof. So check this out.
Millions of our fellow citizens preferred a different outcome. And my message to every Canadian is this. No matter where you live, no matter what language you speak, no matter how you voted, I will always do my best to represent everyone who calls Canada home. As we come here after this consequential, most consequential election, let's put an end to the division and anger of the past.
So this has to be extremely frustrating, not just to you and I, but to the millions of people who own firearms who are wondering what's going on. We're looking to see if this is a new government with a different, you know, a different idea about how things are going to go. He said it would be, but that's not the truth. That's not the experience that we're having. So, yeah, I don't know. I thought things might go differently with this guy, but I feel like they're going to be exactly the same.
Yeah, well, actually backtracking a little bit, you know, you've got someone like Natalie Provost who has access to the Minister of Public Safety and all the policy people and all the rest of that. And well, I guess Pauly Saint-Sylvain has access to them and groups like NAHL. Yes. I particularly have a problem with them because they are not funded by, they're government funded. So they're a government funded advocacy organization in order to advocate to the government, you know, policy positions. But nonetheless, just a few weeks ago, I don't know, well, maybe a month ago or something, I saw this video with Natalie Provost in it. And she said the most outrageous thing. It was funny because I was like, when I heard it, I was just like, yeah, typical stuff. But then I thought about exactly what she said. And it is, it's beyond outrageous that anyone could even hold a position in government when expressing these kinds of views. Anyway, I'm gonna play the clip and then you can respond to it.
The issue with gun is not with criminal guns. It's with legal gun owners that have issues and we must protect our families.
So what a slap in the face to not only the millions of people that own firearms, but what about the victims of actual violence? I mean, you have to be absolutely blind to not see the media reports or the posts on social media about repeat violent offenders, about armed home invasions, carjackings, you know, random killings, like it's gang crime. It's never been so violent in Canada. And she just dismisses all that. And instead says the focus does need to be on licensed gun owners. Like, is there anybody who isn't offended by that? Because I don't understand how she can even say something like that. It's absolute gaslighting to Canadians. And that's unforgivable.
It truly is horrific. You know, like Natalie Provost is a legitimate victim. She was a victim of one of the darkest days in Canadian history.
Yes.
But I think during this last 35 years, she's like hyper-focused on what happened there. I mean, she's dismissing. She's like literally said, criminals aren't the problem. When it's like 99% of the shootings that happen in Canada, and it's never been worse. More bullets have never flown on Canadian streets as they are right now in the last 10 plus years. And basically she's saying like, oh, forget, there are no victims here. There's nobody else has a dog in this fight, but me in my situation over the past 35 years, like just amazing. I mean, for someone that leverages her victimhood, and don't get me wrong, she is a legitimate victim, 100%. And no one ever said anything to the contrary. And no one ever wants to see someone go through something that like she did. Like that's never been a part of the debate. But to say all these people that have been shot and killed, or bystanders on the street in Toronto, or, you know, the woman across the street from the needle exchange died in a hail of gunfire, all this criminal activity. It's like, yeah, it's not none of that problem. Even matters. Don't even consider it. Like it really, I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but it just shows the the intellectual and moral capacity of people when they say something this absolutely outrageous, right? Hyper-focus yeah. on the people that have licenses, that are at the IPSC Nationals and me and you, and just that's who should be being trampled underfoot of the government at any expense, even when we can least afford it. It's like, nope, just focus on these people. Everybody else, you're just imagining it. And all of you victims, you cannot leverage any victim. We are not going to provide any justice to you. Don't even look at those victims. It's weird. I don't know. It's really hard for me to even explain it.
Well, and imagine being somebody from her riding. This is your member of parliament. She's a legislator now. She's walking the halls of power. And this is what she thinks. So not only does she dismiss the experiences and the actual criminal violence happening every day in this country, she also directly assigns blame on the shoulders of millions of good Canadians who've done nothing to deserve it. So I don't know. I'd be questioning my choices if I voted for her in her riding.
Well, Canadians aren't sick and tired of this kind of stuff yet, I guess. Certainly not people in Montreal.
I guess.
They're completely fine with politicians and media and whatever that just lie to your face. You're experiencing reality and they're just like, yeah, you're not even seeing what you're seeing. This is the reality because this serves my goals that I've been advocating for the last 35 years. The rest of Canada be damned. Yeah, like it was the most outrageous thing I've heard in a long time, actually. All right, let's move on. I just couldn't believe, I still can't believe she said something like that. Just outrageous.
Yeah, wow.
All right, we're going to move on to the IPSC Nationals. You were at the IPSC Nationals in Tabor, Alberta this past weekend.
Yeah, that's right. I just got home last night and I'm telling you, I had an absolute blast. So every year we sponsor IPSC Nationals. We're proud to support our sport shooters and they support us right back. And I just had a really different experience this time. This event was held in Tabor. It's about 2.5-hour drive from Calgary. It's a very rural area, but the range was massive. And I'll tell you a little something about that. It was hosted by the Chinook County Shooters Association. Everybody there just did a great job. Walter, Rob, Ken, I want to give you guys a shout out. Just amazing. But so there was a couple of small ranges in the area and the municipality said, oh, why don't we combine and let's build you this incredible professional facility. And so they did, you know, the municipality, of course, has all kinds of machinery, graders for the road, you know, digger machines, backhoes, all that stuff. And the range they built was absolutely incredible. So we had 18 stages spread across a range big enough that you would want to get in your truck to drive to the other side. It was so, so big and beautiful. And there was actually a really beautiful motocross pro track right beside it with jumps and watchtowers, and I've never seen anything like it. So as an Ontarian, it was very confusing to me to see all the support from the municipality when out here, you know, I spent half my time running around trying to prevent municipalities from closing ranges or putting discharge of firearms bylaws. So just a completely different experience. But aside from that, there was 42 different sponsors of this event. We were the big, you know, kind of major naming sponsor. Nationals was presented by the CCFR, but I can tell you who was the big heavyweight on the sponsor sheet, and that was the province of Alberta. So they sponsored this event to the tune of $50,000. So let that sink in. Not only does the municipality of Tabor, build this incredible professional facility for their people, you know, to go and you know, have their interest in their sport out in Tabor, Alberta, but the province also supported this event. And it's just, as an Ontarian, it was completely alien to me to think that, wow, look what you can achieve when you have different levels of government supporting you. And of course, there's probably about $300,000 spent on this event to put it on. It's a huge event, 416 athletes from all across the country, 9 different provinces were represented. But in turn, all those people coming, whether they're traveling alone or they were in teams or they had their family in tow, came to that region and spent, it's probably going to be more than this when all the numbers are final. But so far, $2.1 million in that little region of Tabor, Alberta. So it's just this full circle thing about what can happen when you have levels of government that support you in your sport. You know, it's not figure skating or gymnastics. We don't have government funding coming in. We have to fund this stuff ourselves. But here comes the province of Alberta and municipalities like Tabor who support their constituents, support their people, and support the shooting sports. And just totally blew my mind. And I've never experienced anything like it.
Yeah, that's incredible. And that was a big aspect of the story that we wanted to tell today was, yeah. You know, here you've got the province of Alberta and the municipality of Tabor supporting real positive Canadian gun culture.
Yes.
Like that's what Canadian gun culture actually looks like, despite what other people want to tell you. That's what it actually is. And that's why gun owners are so determined to protect it and try to preserve it. And that's what the government's trying to destroy, like literally trying to destroy it. So,
yeah,
you know, so it's
fun. It was just a wonderful event. And at the end, 136,000 rounds went downrange, not a single injury. I think I saw somebody slide on one of the things and put his knee down. But other than that, not a single injury. So just a beautiful, amazing event. I was privileged to speak at the banquet at the end of it all. Well, again, every level of government except the feds were represented there. CFO Terry Bryant was there. I got to introduce her and she spoke right after me. The mayor of Tabor, the municipality was represented. The provincial MLA was there. You know, it was kind of a who's who except for federal government, of course. But yeah, just an incredible 7 days. And I can't wait till next year in Prince George. So we'll see.
Yeah. And I do want to mention IPSC because of Bill C-21 and everything else that the government is doing is like they are in danger, right? As is basically every shooting sport other than, I don't know, precision rifle or something like that where you're using bolt actions. But yeah, totally in danger of going extinct. The government just thinks, you know, they're as pleased as punch to be part of that, trying to extinct the event and the culture and the business, the revenue, the economic stimulation, everything that you witnessed. So,
yeah,
you know, while, and you know, we didn't talk about this, but while the latest election loss for us was devastating and it's taken me a while to get over it, there is no question that we need to keep fighting because we still have some things and we need to fight to keep them. And we need to continue to fight to push it the other way, or it truly, all of this, everything that you mentioned truly will end. So,
yeah. After spending time with these people and all the athletes, everyone from the, you know, whoever was in last place all the way up to the champions, these people are worth it. This sport is worth it. And, it, you know, there was even a youth division. I think they had 8 young shooters there from the youth division. And that's the future of our sport. And I refuse to go away quietly. And it's worth saving. So congratulations to everybody involved and all the officials who traveled. We even had them up from the States. There was people there right from PEI all the way across to BC. So, yeah, just a beautiful, beautiful event. So congratulations.
Yeah. And thanks to everyone over at IPSC Canada, because we love being part of it. It's a really great sport and it's such a great event. And yeah, we couldn't be prouder of them and our part in there as well. Okay.
Yes.
So previous to last weekend, the weekend before that, you were here on the West Coast for the Gunny Girl Calendar West Coast shoot. And we thought we'd just chat about a couple of the stories and then a project that we have coming up.
Yeah. So I've had a lot of people asking me what's going on with the calendar, because normally we sort of do a talent call out or whatever you want to call it. We ask people to submit and response is always crazy. You have to remember it's a 13-month calendar and we get upwards of 140 girls that submit to be in it. So it's very difficult to choose. Well, this year we did things a little bit differently because we're combining the calendar for our 10th anniversary with a documentary. So we did an alumni calendar. So we kind of went back through the years, handpicked a few people. We'll be doing another one also in Ontario in a couple of weeks. So there was no call out this year. We'll go back to normal next year. but we want to kind of document the entire process. I think when a lot of people hear about, oh, we've got a girl calendar, they get these images of, you know, a bunch of chicks in bikinis or whatever, something, you know, not moral, right? But this calendar is very different. It's, you know, it hangs in the offices of many members of parliament. It hangs at the CFO's office. It's very classy. And the girls who come forward are everyday Canadians. They're actually members of the CCFR. They're not models. You know, they don't have professional experience in that. They volunteer for this. And they've got their own stories, whether they're hunters or sport shooters or moms or grandmas or businesswomen. You know, they're just incredible people. So we come together, we talk about their experiences, their stories, their background, and we have an absolute blast. What girl doesn't like getting all dolled up and having some pictures taken with some really cool guns with all our best friends? And it's like a giant sleepover weekend. So it's probably my highlight of the year is doing these calendar shoots. I do look forward to it getting back to normal next year, but I think this is a lot of fun, and I really want to highlight what the CCFR Women's Program really means. We're the only organization with an actual functioning national women's program, and I want to show people why it's important, what it means to the people involved, and why it's also worth saving.
Right, and as such, we have a project that we've already launched, and that is a documentary about the making of the calendar, this one in particular with all the alumni. Ladies in it. And and the reason why we decided we're going to make a documentary about it, well, I hopefully it comes across the way that we want it to show basically what I've seen, whereas I wasn't a big fan of the project because I thought it was just risky. And I got involved with it last year a little bit because there was the West shoot was in the Lower Mainland of British Columbia. And I witnessed it for myself and I'm like, you know, there's a story here about gun owners who are trying to protect, you know, a huge aspect of their lives, among other things. And they're getting together to raise their own funds for their own program. And then kind of highlight some of the opposition that just to be clear, the political left, you know, women can have agency in all these different ways. I'm not going to get into all the different ways, but if you pay attention to that stuff, you know, it's like, you can do no wrong. Everything is morally on the table. But if you're a gun owner and you are in some tasteful calendar produced by you to raise money for your own program, apparently it couldn't be worse. So it's just an interesting little story with some different dynamics there, right? Like one minute women have all the agency and empowerment in the world. The next minute it's completely denied by the left. So it's just, it's an interesting story of what these ladies do to raise money for their own program and administrate the program themselves, and then how it's viewed from sort of both sides of the political spectrum. I hope it's going to be an entertaining piece, and we're going to put it out on obviously on all of our platforms, and we may put it on television as well.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And at the end of the day, there was always a method to my madness. Women vote. They make decisions for their family. They decide if their kids get to go into the shooting sports. So that's why I thought it was important to have, you know, develop a women's program. But in the beginning, it was very humble start and we didn't have funds. So this is how we fundraised. And now it's not even about the fundraising. I mean, that's important. We need it to run the program itself and host range days. But it's also the friendships that are made. These girls meet each other sometimes for the first time, most times for the first time. And now they've got this group of sisters across the country. And we remain close to this day, all of us. So yeah, it's just really, it's very special to me. So I look forward to seeing how that comes out.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to seeing whether we pull this documentary off. And as I said, just if we can communicate and bring across what I've experienced kind of just getting involved in that program for the 2 years that I have been. So very interesting. All right. Yeah. And you'll see that before I forget, you'll see that documentary, hopefully, late fall this year. So just like before Christmas. So that's the plan at least.
Excellent. I look forward to it.
All right. Okay. I think we covered everything.
Okay.
Awesome. So thanks for the update, Ms. Wilson. And I guess we'll see you in the next one.
All right. We'll see you then.
All right. Via Zoom, we've got Chloe Barnes, who is the Volunteer Communications Director over at We Unify. How's it going, Chloe?
Hi there. It's going well. Glad to be here.
We're glad to have you. So you're coming on to tell us about, I guess, I don't know if we'd call it the Reclaiming Conference or Reclaiming Conference, but this is an event in Calgary next month, which is September. And tell us a little bit about the conference and what we hope to achieve with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So like you said, it is taking place in September in Calgary. It'll be at the BMO Center in September, the 19th through the 21st. And kind of what the goal for this conference is to essentially act as an opportunity for networking. So we want to bring together like-minded individuals and even people who are just coming, who want to learn and who want to collaborate. Really, the ultimate goal is to bring together speakers, delegates, and global participants from all over North America to engage in respectful discussions. And we really are focusing on problem solving. So I'm sure it's not unknown to your listeners that there are a lot of issues in the world, both politically and just morally. And so what we Unify in the Reclaiming Conference is trying to do is bring together a group of people who want to work to solve those issues, to work together and to bring some realistic solutions to North America.
And there are a few issues floating around these days, I think.
Just a few.
Anyone that's conscious or alive in Canada probably have felt that over the last 11 years or so. So maybe just tell us about a couple of different guests, maybe. That might be good.
Sure. So we have got up 40 people right now that are confirmed. A couple of our keynotes is Michelle Ferrari, who is a politician. Dr. Robert Malone will be in attendance. Jennifer Hibbard, she's a physician. So we've got people really from all across the spectrum. We've got scientists, we've got social media influencers, we've got politicians, authors, really anyone that you could hope to hear from is going to be present at this conference. And we're still working on confirming even more people. So it's going to be very exciting, filled with lots of good thought-provoking speeches and discussion.
It'll be entertaining and thought-provoking, I would say. Now, where are we holding this event? And I understand that there's a live program and then there's an online component.
That's correct. So the event itself will be at the BMO Center. And the nice thing about our ticket sales is that we sell it in a package so you can attend the 19th through the 21st. Or if you're only able to attend for one specific day, you can also buy a ticket just to access that one day. So we highly encourage people to come out for as long or as short of a time as they want. And also, if for some reason you're not able to make it in person, we are going to have an online option. You can purchase tickets there. All of that information is available on our website, weunify.ca.
That's awesome. Well, I'm going to be there. I'm one of the speakers, so I'm really happy to and excited to be part of it. And As you said, even if you can't make it, there's still something there for you. So it's my understanding this has been going for a couple of years. I think it's 4 years, mm-hmm. or this is the fourth year. And it's just getting bigger and bigger is my understanding.
That is the truth, yes, which is very exciting.
Awesome. Well, I think we've got all the information, which is important. Again, weunify.ca is where you go to get tickets, correct?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right. So you might be thinking, well, we're at the point where that's the end of episode 193 of the CCFR Radio Podcast, but it's not. We have a very interesting discussion to engage in. I think it's going to be a little spicy. I think some people are going to be quite angry with some of the things I'm going to say, but my message to those people are, as you've been able to expect from me since day one, since the CCFR started, and as you expected from me even before, if you followed my work before, you're going to get 100% the truth and in a 100% accurate manner, at least as accurate as I'm capable of knowing. And if I tell you something that is demonstrably true, you can check it for yourself. If that makes you angry, then you should just turn off the video and look in the mirror and wonder why the truth is making you angry. Okay? So I know it sounds a little spicy, but we're going to get into it. So I'm going to tell you this, go through this conversation with you via a few segues. So just bear with me. You might think it's all, well, this is housekeeping stuff. It's not. It's going somewhere. So the first thing I want to start this conversation off with is CCFR Field Officer of the Month for July 2025, which is our great friend from British Columbia, Ryan Russell. So bear with me now. Ryan gets a $100 promo code for the CCFR's online store. He gets the year's free subscription from CATF, Canadian Access to Firearms, donated every month by one of the best people in the community, Donovan Dewis, over there. He gets recognition here on this podcast. He gets recognition on our nationally broadcast television show. So that's the important information there. But I want to tell you a story about Ryan and by extension, a bunch of other things. So Ryan's like, uh-oh, if he's watching this, but don't worry, man, it's all good as it applies to you for sure. So here we are in August, the beginning of August, 2025. So 10 years ago, not to the day, but to the month, in August, 2015, the CCFR, the corporation, I'm very sure it was August, but anyway, if not, give or take a few weeks. The corporation, the not-for-profit corporation was formed. And as legend has it, in Tracy Wilson's living room or whatever it was, right? Now, in August, the corporation was formed. That group of people led by another guy that was in the firearm community at the time recruited me to be the first president of the CCFR. Then I accepted that position after a little bit of coercion. I wasn't sure I even wanted to get involved in politics. But anyway, that's ancient history. And then we took our first membership. Like the organization was up and operating by the end of October, the 29th or 30th or something, when we took our first membership. During that period, someone had called this meeting in Langley, British Columbia, in the Lower Mainland, just outside Vancouver. I don't know who it was. If they hear this, I'm sure they'll say, oh, that was me. But as the president of this new organization, we were taking feedback from people. And so somebody wanted to have a meeting, a physical meeting of all the people that were sort of in the orbit of the people that formed the CCFR that were local to the Lower Mainland, because that's where I am, right? So, and the meeting was at the ABC restaurant in Langley, BC. It was off the corner of 192nd and the Langley Bypass. I went there with one of my oldest and best friends, Miguel Gozano, the owner of Valley Combat and Tactical. So if you're ever in Abbotsford, British Columbia, you want to look at a few guns and then go see Miguel. I've known this guy since I was 20. Cruise in there, say, hey, Rod sent me. Tell me some old stories about you and Rod when you were in your 20s. Hopefully he doesn't tell you anything that can be used against me. So anyway, Miguel and I go there, and there was this guy there. And it was Ryan Russell at this meeting. So Ryan Russell was already there in the CCFR before we even took a membership. That's how I recall it, at least. And so he was very outspoken. He was very enthusiastic, and he had some great ideas. And I remember saying, because I think that was the first time I had ever met him. And I'm like, man, this guy would be a real asset to the organization. And 10 years later, so he was there before day one, basically. 10 years later, he is still working, family, all the rest of that stuff, still volunteering for the CCFR and doing a significant amount of work. 10 years later. So I'm going to come back around to all this in a little bit, but it's people like Ryan and everyone else. I'm not going to start naming people because they'll be like, you didn't mention my name. All these people and the people that have kept a current membership for 10 years, $40 a year, $400 over a decade, right? And otherwise donated to the CCFR, clubs that have got us, had us do their club insurance, all that. These are the people that have created the largest, most sophisticated, most influential gun lobby group that ever existed in Canada. Now, is that a false claim? Is it baseless? Absolutely not. I'm going to give you some examples, and that's going to stem. It's going to be sort of tentacles of a different conversation, all meshed into one. It's important, though. So, at the CCFR, I'm a worker. I'm not the CEO that sits with the feet up, calling all my employees every morning. Yeah, what do you got up today? Like, I'm hands off management, probably to a fault. Most people at the CCFR would tell you that. Why? Because I have my own work to do. I have so much work to do, project work, management work, all this other stuff, audits and you just contracts and you name it, television shows, podcasts, travel, appearance, like it's ridiculous, right? So I got my own work. Every once in a while, and the way that my mind works is I tend to focus on the failures, right? So we lost the last election despite everything we did. Despite everything everyone did for 10 years at the CCFR, we lost the last election. And my brain says, none of it worked. I'm on to the next thing. Very rarely do I take a minute to stick my head up and go, what have we accomplished this whole time? Because I'm always focused on the mission. Well, I recorded the final episode of season 4 of our nationally broadcast television show on WOW TV, CCFR Radio on the air. And it started me thinking, have we really created really something that never existed before in Canadian history, the CCFR. You know, we used to call the idea of the CCFR the one big group. We need one big group. That was the thing that the people in the community used to say. I mean, we accomplished that, I don't know, 5 years ago, right? But it really has turned into something pretty remarkable. And I want to tell you why. I'm going to give you a couple of signposts, and it's important. When in Canadian history had we ever had a gun lobby group that had the capability, both the expertise, the determination, the money, all these things, the insight, the creativity, to buy 68 full-page newspaper ads in the biggest newspapers across the country to alert Canadians that they have a property rights problem? Like, when did that ever happen? Never. No other group ever was at that point. And this was a long time ago. This is 5 years ago. When was the gun lobby in a position to leverage $3 million, to put $3 million into a lawsuit and take it all the way? Well, we'll see if it'll go to the Supreme Court of Canada. But all the way from the first application to three injunctions to cross-examining and basically destroying every single witness the government brought forward to fighting every single intervener to losing that case, coming back in the Court of Appeals, losing that case and then applying to the Supreme Court of Canada. Nobody ever. Now, we didn't take an approach like some people might that are like, put in an application, just pay for that initial application, do absolutely nothing for 4 years while everyone else is doing the work, and then showing up at final arguments and then telling their supporters, hey, we are leading the charge. This actually is our case and everybody else is running our coattails. So, you know, this is us standing. We're the ones that are leading the charge here. Like, can you imagine when someone makes a decision that they're going to lie to the people that are supporting their organization? Can you imagine the diabolical nature, what goes through somebody's head? I could never even consider doing that not even for a second would I do that. To lie to the people that where I'm asking for two things. I'm asking for their help, and that comes in the form of money that they have left over after they worked and after the government took what the government thought was their fair share of it. And then asking for their trust on top of that. Can you imagine? Anyway, these are some of the things I've seen along the way. Someday I will write a book and all of it will be out there. Anyway, so, I mean, for the gun lobby to have those kinds of resources and that level of commitment, like it's never been done before. And for the gun lobby in Canada to have a nationally broadcast television show among the top rated shows on the network, on Wild TV, on cable TV, not just to have a biweekly current event show for gun owners, but for it to run for 4 years straight. And for me to start, you know, like we start season five on October the 2nd, I think, is when the next episode is going to be shown for season five, the first episode. Like, that's never even been thought of, much less actually executed and done for 4 years straight. Like, that's pretty serious, right? I tend to just, when something's done, I don't think about it anymore. But it is actually quite remarkable when you think about it, like what it takes to do that. And then, this is important, the most important thing I'm going to say. For you, if you're an organization, whether you're Wildlife Organizing Federation or your gun group or whatever group, for an organization that has something big to gain from a conservative win, especially after what we've been through in the last 10 years, if you did absolutely nothing for an entire decade, you know, fundraised, spewed out a bunch of rhetoric, you know, like weird ethereal rhetoric, like, you know, Trudeau's trying to, you know, circumvent our plan to repeal C-21. You know, we can't do it unless you support our, you know, like what? Why? How are you dismantling Bill C? But anyway, let's pretend that you fundraised for 10 years, did absolutely nothing. Okay. The time for you to show up with the entire war chest, the time for you to show up with sleeves rolled up, throwing, tossing haymakers like crazy, swinging for the fences, was this federal election that just went by. This last federal election, that's when you should have been like, okay, set aside enough for us to operate for a year. The rest is going. This is it. This is what the CCFR did. we put $400,000. We were the sixth largest third-party advertiser in the entire country. George Soros's NGO lead now, not even close. Private sector unions, public sector unions, we were, and actually after the final audit, we'll probably be top five or top four. So basically I can say, and I mean, this is, you can just read it, right? So you don't even have to take my word for it. We'll probably be in the top five. When in Canadian history was a gun lobby group capable of that or even close to that? Never. And it's not even like we said, like I said, you know, hey, okay, we got to shovel 400 grand out the door or gun owners won't think we're working. Like, we didn't do that at all. We put hundreds of hours into finely tuning a sophisticated national advertising campaign, so much so, like, we had ads during the Stanley Cup playoffs, man. When would the gun lobby in all of Canadian history ever be at a point where they could even have the competency to even make that happen? Because it's not easy. Much less afford it, much less have the foresight, much less target that to specific ridings and go through all 338, well, 343 in this election, right? Something like that. And it's not even, and again, it's not even like I'm just telling you that we did that. We posted all of the data to show you where we spent the money, why we chose each individual riding. You just go to ccfr.ca. Tracy Wilson did a story called Unprecedented Election Action or something like that. And we actually posted it all. Why? Because we're honest. We will never lie to people that we're asking for them to trust us, right? We're never going to mislead you into trusting us and supporting us. We're there to do work and we're there to throw everything we possibly can to save something that is so sacred as your ability to legally own and use firearms and to pass them down to the next generation, you know? So now if you want to know who showed up when it mattered the most out of the last literal decade, I'll post the link. You go to Elections Canada, click on the third party advertisers, find out who did nothing, meaning their name isn't even on that list. Find out who did something. And if so, click on their reports. Find out how much they spent, right? So, and there's some of the final reports are there. Ours isn't. It's going to be another 3 weeks probably. I just haven't had the time to do it. But the deadline's coming up. I have no choice. So you'll have those numbers in about a month. But even our last interim report, take that and add $50,000 for the poster campaign that we did before the writ dropped. And then there's some more money coming after that. So just it's very easy to find out who actually showed up at the most important moment in a decade and who didn't. So really important. So all that to say, I'm looking at all of this stuff in its totality. And I'm like, oh man, have we, and I mean, obviously I haven't talked about everything. Go to ctfr.ca, click Y join, start looking down that list. You never have to ask what we're doing. We posted on the stinking website. There's even stuff I haven't posted on there yet. It hasn't been updated in a while, but you can see what we've done. So it's, I'm so privileged to be part of this organization that went from nothing and we needed an organization to do all the things I just talked about and more to being part of the CCFR. And I think one of the reasons why I'm mentioning this is, don't ever think for a second that we don't know how we got here. We got here because of all the people that believed in the CCFR and that put work in, like Ryan, like all the other volunteers, like the members, like people that donated, like clubs that support the CCFR, like clubs that do National Range Day stuff because they know that grassroots activism is important. That's why you have your one big group. That's why you have the biggest, most influential gun lobby group in the history of the country, the CCFR. It was all of you that did it. I got to ride along, made some decisions, came up with some ideas. I worked just like I would work anywhere else. It was all of these people that created that because there's only seven of us. So I guess at the end of the, to round all that up, I think all of us, despite where we are, we lost. But despite where we are, we should all be really proud of what we created and the role that we played. And I will leave you with one more idea. I don't like losing, especially after I dedicated 10 years of my life to try to win that last election, because it all came down to that. If we would have won, it all would have been dismantled. And we lost, and we don't even know where we're going, right? We've got projects and whatever, but we're not going to see another election for 2 to 3 years, at least. And I'm going to tell you this. If every group, and I don't just mean gun groups or wildlife groups or whatever, any group that had a stake in the conservatives winning, if they all did what the CCFR did, or even half of what we did, we would have won that election in a landslide. That's, I don't know. Call that my opinion because I can't prove it, but just think about it. If we were in the top five, top six right now, but top five after the audit is submitted, the final report submitted, can you imagine if 10 different organizations had done that? We would have been everywhere. We probably would have won that election. I, in my mind, I think we would have 100% won it by a healthy margin, and things would be very, very different than they are today. So anyway, we can always use a little more help. So that's sort of what I wanted to talk about. And so just everyone be proud of your organization. We're going to keep on fighting. A lot of people say we should give up. A lot of people say, well, why'd you even, the election's rigged, or the courts are activists. You know, it's like, well, so you don't do anything? You just sit here and let it all happen? Go hide in the bush, you know? So we can't do that. Giving up or not fighting is not an option. So we're going to continue to fight. We have projects coming. We have ideas. We have support from all of you, which is an absolute privilege to be able to work for you. And we're going to keep on fighting. So anyway, sorry it was so long. It was just the, you know, things like this, sometimes I just got to get them out. So it's going to be a while till the next podcast. It's going to be September 25th. It's about 6 weeks. And because I got to travel, I have that reclaiming conference to go to, all the rest of that stuff. So again, if you want to come to that conference, I'll see you there. I'm going to be there the whole 3 days. That's at the BMO Center in Calgary, September 19th through 21st. And you can find tickets for that at weunify.ca. Thanks, everyone, for all your support. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. And if there's significant news to talk about before September the 25th, Wilson and I will do a quick little podcast if need be. Other than that, we will see you in September. Enjoy your summer. Take care, and we'll see you soon.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.